Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's go to the hotline. I think we got him now. Texans GM Nick Caserio. Flu vaccine and coconut water, right, Nick?
That's exactly right. We're ready to go. For fall. So, we're good to go.
Good deal, man. We appreciate you making time for us, as always. We're heading into the bye week here, Nick. I know you've talked about how this season is very process-driven, that it's about process more than results. But obviously, the results matter. What's your biggest concern about the losing that's going on right now?
Sure. The reality is each week is an opportunity for us to go out there and try to perform to the best of our ability. The reality is, you know, we haven't probably done as well as we all have hoped or relative to what our expectations is on a week-to-week basis. So our record is what our record is. There's nothing we can do about it. The only people that can get the problems fixed or make some improvements is us, and it's incumbent upon all of us, myself, coaches, players, be accountable for what's happened and take some inventory of some of the things that we've done and try to make some improvements. Nothing's going to get fixed overnight. And I think the opportunity for each team and our team is to go back and look at some of the things in some of the different areas and examine, you know, some of the areas. There's been some shortcomings. Look for some areas that we can improve. Just specifically, if you go back to the Miami game, I would say one of the things that has been an issue for us during the year is our tackling. We've missed a lot of tackles. I think we were, you know, we've missed two times as many tackles as our opponents. But, you know, in the Miami game, we actually did a pretty good job tackling. So really what you're trying to do is make some incremental improvements on a week-to-week basis. And the goal is to go out there and perform to the best of your ability on Sunday. And if you do the things that are required to win, you'll give yourself a chance. If you don't, you're going to come up short, not to oversimplify it. And there's been situations in games where we've given ourselves a chance and been competitive. And there's other games, quite frankly, where we haven't done the things that are required to give ourselves an opportunity to win. So you can't get everything fixed. You've played 9 games. We have a number of plays, and we have some information to this point. So really, how do we optimize the next 8 weeks? So really, you have to put it into 8 one-week buckets, and it's very opponent-specific. It's very opponent-driven. So our next opportunity will be against Tennessee, and they'll present challenges for our team that other opponents maybe have or haven't, but it's a different team, a different scheme. So the most important thing is for all of us to just be accountable, realize we need to get better, and each individual has to look at themselves and their individual performance, and figure out what can they do to help our team. And if we execute and do the things that we're supposed to do, we'll give ourselves a chance. If we don't, then, you know, we'll come up on the short end of the stick.
You know, Nick, I'm not going to ask you to define culture or process or anything. I think you've spoken about that a couple times already. But I'm curious, when you come from New England, where obviously they had a very strong culture, or have had a very strong culture for 2 decades now, so much of that culture comes from Bill Belichick, and for a long time, you know, Tom Brady was a huge part of that culture. So when you as a general manager are figuring out exactly how you want your organization to look, how do you separate the parts that are the process that can stand alone on their own, but or the parts that are, okay, that's Bill Belichick?
Seth, it's a great question. So what you have to do, whoever I would say runs or leads the football operation, there's a certain message that gets articulated to everybody in the building. So it starts from the top down. They disseminate your message, what the expectation is on a day-to-day basis, regardless of the area, regardless of the team, regardless of the side of the ball, whatever that is. So then that trickles down to the assistant coaches. That trickles down to other areas of your football operation that touch the players on a day-to-day basis, and ultimately it has to go to the players. And then the players really are the ones that are going to hold themselves accountable and hold each other accountable. So the type of people that you have in your building, the type of people that understand the message of what the expectation is and how to go about and apply that, like ultimately that's what's going to give your team a chance to be successful. So it's a consistency of messaging, and it's quite frankly getting everybody to understand to the best of your ability what the expectation is on a day-to-day basis. We talked about this a little bit last week when I spoke with our local media. When you build a program, when you put a program in place, there's certain things that you're going to ask your players to do and everybody in the building to do. And quite frankly, and Seth, you know this, being a part of different teams, some people and players are more committed than others. And that's okay. That's the reality of it. We deal with it. The rest of the NFL deals with it. So what can we do in our building to make sure that we have more people that understand that and then have enough pride and can apply the things that we're trying to do? So it's not going to happen overnight. It takes time. And I think it's the consistency of message and doing it day after day, month after month, year over year. And you're trying to put in our particular situation to put something in place. We're kind of the rudimentary building blocks, if you will. And quite frankly, there's some people that have understand that better than others and have done the things that we ask, and other people have haven't, and that's okay. And part of my responsibility as the head of the football operation is try to figure out who fits, why they don't fit, and if we can make a correction or find a solution, then to try to do that to the best of our ability. So I know it's a long-winded answer, but I think there's a lot that goes into it, and it's hard to boil it down to maybe, you know, one or two things.
No, and look, I'll tell you, Nick, I braced myself for this at the beginning of the season because I knew there'd be some hardship. But as an observer now and not as like somebody who's in the building, I'll be honest with you. This is the week that broke me a little bit, like where I started to just get really, really frustrated. And last week when you brought up the Astros, I thought it's a great example to use because obviously they turned it around. They kind of had to clear the deck of some bad and issues. But the difference between baseball and football is, okay, in baseball you draft Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers in 2012. Then you got to wait 3 years until you see them, until you really can start to see the fruits of what you've done. Is it fair to say that in football you can get aggressive earlier, that you're going to draft guys in the first round that over the next couple of years that'll presumably play in those rounds, and then you'll have free agency money to spend? Should we expect football teams to turn it around faster than a team like than the Astros?
It's a good question. I'd say each sport is its own entity. Football is unique from the standpoint, you know, in terms of the actual playing component, you have 17 opportunities over the course of the year to go out there and put your best foot forward. Now, within that, football, as you all know, football has essentially become kind of a full-year endeavor because there's so much interest in the sport, which is great. There's a lot of fan interest. There's a lot of media interest. There's always a lot to discuss. So after the season, you go through the season, and you talk about week to week, okay, here's what happened in the game. This team's good. This team's bad. Okay, man, I can't believe this happened. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of discussion. Like, nobody thought Jacksonville was going to beat Buffalo. But, again, I think it's a good illustration of if you go out there and execute and perform, each Sunday, whoever you are, it doesn't really matter what the record is, you have an opportunity to go out there and perform and win if you do the right thing. From an overall football standpoint, so once the season is over, you go through the draft, you go through free agency, and I think there's always a inclination, well, one player or one pick or one free agent signing. Really what it is the cumulative effect of people coming into your building in waves on a year-to-year basis, and you have to go out there and perform ultimately. And the reality is, even going not to get too far ahead on the draft, I don't care what round you pick in. You pick in a first round, you pick in a fourth round, you pick in a seventh round. There's no guarantee that player is actually going to come in and provide all the answers. It's unfair to that player, and it's unfair to the franchise. So what you have to do is just try to be as comprehensive as you possibly can, and who you bring in the building, be very purposeful, and understand that you have to go through steps along the way. It's the off-season program, it's training camp, it's the preseason games, and then once you start playing games, then it's really about a week-to-week endeavor. So there's so much that goes into it. I would say the reality is there's no quick fixes. There might be quick fixes because the record looks good, but really what you have to ask yourself, can you sustain that over the course of a long period of time? And you look at the teams, regardless of sport, that have been successful, they put programs in place that they could withstand the ups and downs over the course of however many years and have sustainable success. So that's our goal. Now, whether or not that actually comes to fruition, that's going to be, you know, a lot of our responsibility, my responsibility, but it's going to take more than one person. But, you can go through the history of sports and look at different organizational structures, whether it's the Spurs, whether it's what the Astros have done, you know, what the Suns are going through, what my experience in New England was, you know, what Baltimore has been able to do when you go through the league, what Pittsburgh's been able to do. I mean, Mike hasn't had a losing season since he's been the head coach. They've changed their team at different points throughout the, you know, a multitude of years. Players come and go. Players are going to come and go. That's the reality of it. And our situation won't be any different. But, again, it's nothing's going to happen overnight, and it's not going to be about one player, one person. It's going to be a cumulative effect and the collective effort of a number of different people.
Well, and Texans general manager Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. So, Nick, for you personally, as you pointed out in your press conference last week, you've not been a part of much losing at all. None in New England, no losing seasons in New England, and only a couple through the course of your career. This is going to sound weird, but at times, do you wish that you had experienced some of that, given what you're going through right now, so you would have something to draw back to? Or is that not a factor when it comes to accomplishing and implementing what you're trying to do?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. I think you don't get caught up in sort of the day-to-day, and you have to have a certain level of patience. You just have to look at your situation and take the information in, process it, assess it. And the most important thing for us and my responsibility is just try to make as many good decisions over the course of a period of time as possible. Understanding not all decisions are going to work the way that you hope, but just have conviction and faith. And really, we're all product of our experiences. And the reality is, I mean, you're going to have to deal with some challenges and adversity. It's not specific to football. I mean, really, that's life in general. So I think you got to kind of take a, call it 30,000 feet view of the whole thing. And it's, sure, is it disappointing when you lose a game? Nobody likes to lose games. I don't care. Nobody likes to lose, period, regardless if you're playing football, if you're on a golf course. Like, go out there and make a bunch of double bogeys. Like, you're not going to be happy when you walk off the golf course. I think that's just your competitive nature and whatever you're made up of and you know, what's important to you. So, again, we're here. We're where we are. I would say, are we disappointed? Yeah, sure. I mean, sure, it's disappointing, but we can't get caught up in the disappointment. I think it's controlling what we can control and try to continually move forward and try to make some improvements and try to come up with some solutions and fix problems. So, I mean, that's the most important thing, is just trying to fix some things, and maybe we can get some things fixed. You know, and if we don't get those things fixed, then, you know, we'll continue to lose some games. But, I mean, losing games, I mean, look, there's two teams in the history of the NFL that have gone undefeated in a regular season. Mm-hmm. You know, one won the Super Bowl, and the other team, you know, I had the good fortune of being a part of and coaching on that team. So it's not easy to do. I think the league is set up, it's probably, quite frankly, and I don't want to, you know, I know we have a lot of baseball fans and basketball fans in this city, and it's a great sports city, but, I mean, football is probably as competitive a sport as any of them out there, and I think it's very unique, you know, and it's always a challenge, and I think that's when you get into this sport, there's a lot of good coaches, there's a lot of good players, there's a lot of good people, and, you know, try to challenge yourself each day against the best, and, you know, that's what we're going to try to do here as we work through this.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, along those lines, just specific to the process on the field, the game day process, in the closer games you guys have had this year, it feels like there have been game management or decision issues that, to Coach Culley's credit, he has addressed them the next day and talked about what he would do differently. But, you know, I guess from a game management perspective, does it concern you that there are game management or decision-making issues in some of these closer games? And in the spirit of the accountability that you talk about, what's the process to address those behind the scenes to make sure those don't happen?
Yeah, I think anytime you watch a game and you look at a game, you go back and talk about what happened. I think sometimes we underestimate the enhanced clarity to hindsight. So when you're in the game, you go through them and you take the situation and you make a decision and you move forward. So whatever that is. So I respect and appreciate the way that David handled the team. You know, to your point, you know, he's made some commentary about what's happened during the course of the games. He's been honest and forthright about it. So again, you go back and look at what happened during the course of the game, you talk about it, and if you get in that situation again, like, you make a different decision, what's the circumstance in the game? I mean, there's a thousand different things that go on during the course of a game, and you kind of have to take the information as it comes and just make decisions. So, again, we look at everything, we review the game, what happened in the game, we talk about it internally, you know, we meet each week at the end of the week and kind of go through some different situations and different scenarios that come up throughout the course of the league, whether specific to us or specific to other teams, You know, I'd say there's a couple things like the way Miami handled the game. Like there were certain things, patterns of behavior that they showed, and it kind of came to fruition about how they handled, you know, certain situations. So, again, all of us are trying to learn and take the information and what goes on during the course of the game, try to make the decision that we feel is best for the team, and then move forward.
Hey, Nick, when a high-profile player like Odell Beckham Jr. gets put on waivers, what's that look like logistically? Like, not just with you guys, but just with GMs around the league. Is there kind of a mad scramble for information to try to figure out, okay, is this guy going to want to play for us? What happened in the last spot? Like, how's that just look on in your daily routine?
Yeah, as you work across the league and talk through different players, and there's a lot of information that's out there, you're probably ahead of it, and you're probably, you know, accumulating information through whatever the sources may or may not be along the way. So each team has their own process and mechanism that they go through for gathering information. And really what you're trying to do is say, okay, does the information match A, what we had, then B, all right, is this something that we want to consider? And then C, you know, is it actually even feasible for us to, you know, to handle or consider? So I think what we all realize is, the reality is players change teams probably more regularly than people realize. I mean, coaches change teams. I mean, that's just the nature of what goes on in our league, you know, maybe more than others because you have, you know, X amount of players, 53 players on a roster, practice squad. You got guys going on the practice squad, off the practice squad, players going through waivers, players get traded. So there's probably as much movement on a week-to-week basis in our league than there is maybe baseball has a little bit of that as well. A guy goes up for the game, then he goes back through waivers, goes to AAA or whatever the case may be. So the most important thing is any player, take the information, look at the information that you have, make an assessment of the information, and try to make a decision that you feel is best for your organization.
Did you guys consider claiming Odell Beckham Jr.?
We don't have enough money. We can't afford them.
There you go. There you go. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, we appreciate your time. Before we get you out of here, how you talked openly during your press conference last week about the talks surrounding Deshaun. How crucial, as the general manager, how crucial is the eventual movement of Deshaun Watson for the rebuild of this team?
Yeah, I'd say it's been a topic that's been talked about for a number of months and weeks. Quite frankly, some of the talk has kind of been a waste of time. Yeah. But really what we said from the beginning was just try to take the information, take it day to day, and ultimately just make a decision that we feel is best for our organization. So whether it's with Deshaun or any other player or any other situation. So we've been consistent from the beginning and we'll be consistent, you know, all the way through and, you know, kind of stay true to what we've talked about from the beginning.
That's Texans GM Nick Caserio. What's the plan for the bye week, Nick? You off to go watch some college football somewhere?
Possibly. Okay. So there'll be plenty of work. The good thing, I think we've all learned this. I mean, you can get a lot of work done regardless of your location, wherever you are. So, you know, I've actually made some progress. You know, you're trying to balance off what goes on with the team and, you know, try to stay ahead in some of the draft preparation. So I would say just kind of be consistent during the course of the week, kind of stay true to my process. Try to spend time with my daughters a little bit. I'm sure they'll enjoy that and having a little extra time for daddy. So that's important. It's probably more important than anything. So, but try to have a good week and try to be productive and then just get ready to go next week and get ready for Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. Get some W's in that second half of the season for sure. Nick, we always appreciate the time, man. We know you're busy and we'll do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. That's Texans GM Nick Caserio joining us here on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.